2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
To you, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. You want to join us if you're not a member yet, use the promo code PODCAST over there on DFSArmy.com. That'll get you 20% off each month of your subscription. Breaks it down to $16 a month. Folks, you can't beat that with the biggest of sticks, okay? You're going to get 24/7 access to our Slack channel where me, Keith, and all sorts of other coaches can help you out with NBA or whatever sport that you like. And then, you know, you're going to have these great articles that we get. You're going to have the projections that we have each day. You're going to have access to the Domination Station, which, if you know anything how it's been going for football, I can't wait for it to be in play for NBA. So once again, DFSArmy.com and the promo code PODCAST. I am your host, Al Walsh. Probably should have mentioned that at the beginning, but hey, you know, we're all learning on the fly here. You can give me a follow on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And the other man in the cockpit, Keith Hall, is with us. Give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Boomers DFS Daddy. What is up, Keith?
Not a lot, man. Not a lot. Just enjoying life, brother. Enjoying life. So it's going to be a lot of fun today. Nice little six-game slate, possibly a five-game slate. Going to have some game theory involved in this because of what's going on up west. Preparing for the incumbent weather that's supposed to happen here in the Midwest. So.
Oh, so you're basically going to get what we just got. So. If you need any rock salt, let me know. I got like two tubs of it.
No, it's a little bit worse because we don't get snow. No. We get sleeting ice. So
wonderful.
Ice accumulates on the power lines, and we huddle up in blankets, and as long as the gas lines don't go kaput, then I've got a fireplace, so we can huddle up next to that, and skin-to-skin contact creates good body heat, so we're good to go there.
Okay, chest-to-chest, I see, all right. So as Keith mentioned, we've got, you know, you was mentioning the bad weather. Well, that could come into play tonight for the Portland-Cleveland game, as I believe both teams are stuck at their respective airports. Both teams played last night. Cleveland was in Utah, and Portland was at the Lakers. So there's been some pretty bad weather out there in Portland, Oregon, and neither of them can fly into Portland. I think what they're trying to do is fly into another city and then hop on a bus and then get in that way. Whatever the situation is, it's not looking good right now. I mean, hell, even if the teams get to the arena, I don't think the Blazers want to put their fans at risk by having to travel to an arena like that. You know, it is kind of cool, though, like when teams do that situation and there's only like 5,000 people in the arena, they'll usually allow people to just basically sit wherever they want. I know I was at a Devil's Lightning game one time and the power went out like halfway through the game. It stopped at like the 10-minute mark of the second period. So they had to cancel the rest of the game. We came back. So this was on a Friday night. So we came back that Sunday afternoon, and there were only like 2,000 people there. So they let people go wherever they wanted. They opened up like the VIP restaurant area and had like free food there. So, you know, teams make it worth your while if you do get there.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird situation. We know that CJ McCollum was kind of bitching about them having to fly out last night, and if they couldn't fly into Portland, that they were going to end up flying into another city and then busing into Portland. So it's definitely a situation. I haven't got word if they're actually in Oregon yet. It's something that we're gonna have to watch out for. As of right now, I'm going to assume, because the NBA has not given us any notice, that they are going to play. I have got a feed on TweetDeck just for this purpose, and there's no way that I'm gonna make a mistake about whether or not we're playing this game and we're including it, because if we can get an edge in tournaments by playing this game, and it plays, and the public stays off of it, then by all means, hell, we're gonna freaking do what we can.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of edge in NBA, and last night was a testament. If you didn't have the combination of James Harden, Jeremy Lamb, and Kawhi Leonard in your lineup, then you probably did not even come close to sniffing to taking down a tournament. For me, I played Kawhi, I played Lamb, and I faded Harden and went Durant. It was just something that didn't work out. I understand that, but this is what we talk about. When somebody goes for 80 or 79 or 69 or whatever Harden did yesterday, it's you've got to have that top scorer in your lineup in order to compete. And normally, you can get a you can pit a lot of these guys up against each other, a Westbrook, a Harden, a LeBron, a Giannis, a Durant, a Boogie, and if they all score around the same, then basically what you're trying to do is gain the leverage on the ownership with the least amount of money. And last night wasn't one of those nights. And it came back, and it kind of hurt a little bit. So
Sure did.
it's just kind of one of those things. I think we were kind of talking a little bit before, and I think what we can do is we can learn from it. Obviously, we always need to be trying to learn. If we're making one lineup on a night like last night, as soon as the Klay Thompson news hit, my whole night went to complete crap, because I was off of Curry, and I was off of I was thinking just Durant. And if Klay would have played, then it would have been a good play, in my opinion, because Durant seems to do better with Klay in the lineup. Curry gets the bump when Klay's out of the lineup. Well, I had Harden, I had I or not Harden, I'm sorry. I had Durant, I had Lamb, I had Kawhi in there, and I chose to adding go double high at point guard, which gave me a little bit more of a uniqueness in the lineup. But it ultimately, when the Klay news hit, it was not the right play. So.
And yesterday I talked about breaking down the slate into different just different contests. So both express slates for me did not go well, but what did go well was doing the after hours slate, and that I was pretty profitable on. And again, that's just something that I like to do. I highly recommend it to other people if you're having a harder time. It simplifies things a lot. So I think tonight, if that Cleveland Portland game does play, you're gonna have one express slate and then an after hour slate as well. So
Yeah, and
you will have a couple of different opportunities.
be careful of playing that after hours slate. And honestly, I think there is they there could be an overnight slate tonight that FanDuel pops out with, because Denver and Indiana play in London tomorrow. And
Ah, that's right.
that's at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. So that could be a quote unquote 3-game slate because they might want to make sure that that doesn't get can if the Portland game does get canceled tonight for some reason, that they still have the ability to have 2 games on a slate, which is, part of the legality requirements in order to run a slate, because if they run just the 2 after hours at 10:30 and Eastern, then if that Portland game gets canceled, then they lose, they can't run a slate because you can't run it just on one game. So
Yep.
that's something that, we could end up seeing today as well on both of these sites. So just be prepared.
All right, let's get into it. Like I said, 6, potentially 5-game slate going on here. So we will begin with the New York Mets. I mean, New York Knicks, who opened up as a 2-point favorite here in Philadelphia tonight. -135 on the money line, 209 total that we got in this game. Knicks have lost 8 of their last 9 games. They have been pretty decent against the spread. 10-9 on the road, not great, but 10-4 is a favorite, which is a pretty good mark. Did not help them much last game. Obviously, you could attribute all that to Rose. And for the Sixers, they've been pretty good here as an underdog, but. Let's break down some of theirs. 11-9 against the spread at home, 19-14 as an underdog, and then 11-7 as a home underdog, which they are tonight. Now, I think we can throw a lot of that stuff out the window and just know that there's a whole lot of controversy surrounding this Knicks team right now. Derrick Rose resurfaced day after going AWOL for their last game. I believe he's going to start tonight, which is absolutely mind-boggling. How he's not suspended or anything like that. I mean, the Knicks really showed him though by giving him a $500 fine. So he's probably not going to be able to eat steak once this week. Other than that, everybody's healthy in this game. So, what are you looking at first?
I think this is a great Derrick Rose bounce back spot because of the fact that you've got the stigma of him not showing up and all of that stuff. I'll have to see what the industry is kind of saying about it, but I think we've seen Derrick Rose have good games this year before, and there's a very good chance that he can come out and actually do that again. I really kind of like, obviously Kristaps Porzingis and Carmelo Anthony as well, but I think a very, very sneaky type of play is Joakim Noah tonight. I kind of like him if you need to go down that far at the center position. I like him a lot better on FanDuel, obviously, because you have to play one center, and it gets you kind of off the crowd. But I guess I don't mind it on DraftKings, but it's not someplace where I'm absolutely looking to attack on DraftKings. It's more of a FanDuel type play. Other than that, it's going to be all. I just said, I just talked about, not getting cute in tournaments and stuff, but it's all going to be, kind of what the industry is talking about with Derrick Rose, because, other than Russell Westbrook tonight, point guard is not the best position as far as a lot of lower priced value, and he's still in that mid tier. If not, if you want to take a shot, then I guess you could take a shot on Brandon Jennings. He was in play the last game, and it was even before we knew about Rose not being with the team. And it was kind of one of those situations, like, he was in play because Rose was starting to lose minutes at the end of the game and everything like that, and then all of a sudden He's announced the starter. And how does a
he
beat
lost
writer?
All the minutes.
Yeah, no kidding. How does a beat writer not tweet out, during pregame warmups that
yep.
Derrick Rose is not on the court? No,
yeah,
he is
or
not
even
shown.
Running late or something like that, not at the arena. Yeah, yeah. Very, very weird. And I thought it was weird too that, especially if he in fact was in Chicago, nobody at the airport tweeted like, "Hey, Derrick Rose is flying to Chicago on a game day."
You
know,
want to talk
like
about?
I think I at least think one person would have noticed.
Somebody should have. And right. That just goes to show you, in the NFL, you can't get anything by, but, in the NBA, these guys, like we rely, I know some people popped off, that, this is rigged. There's no, this is, how do you not know that it will, guys, I'm 100% dead serious. Derrick Rose wasn't on my sheet that night. Okay. Because of the situation that had happened the game before with him losing minutes to Ron Baker in the fourth quarter. So that was the reason why he wasn't on my sheet. It had nothing to do with the fact that I knew something that people didn't. I just didn't like him in that game. And then I don't know about you, but I accept late swap or late scratches kind of as a monster in the NBA. It kind of works itself out over the course of the season. I'm just gonna leave it there. It's gonna happen, guys. And there's nothing that the sites can do about it. They don't know about it. A bigger thing to me is I don't trust FanDuel or DraftKings or any of these sites that I play on. I don't trust them as far as their news. Like I don't pay attention to the questionable tags, the outs, because they are probably the last to know an update. Like we know on Twitter, RotoWorld, you guys know it before they're able to update it on their app on anything. And I think that the sites need to just stay away from the news and just supply the games. That's just my opinion though. But don't trust the sites. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Don't trust the sites.
They have some news, but believe me, guys, there are plenty like RotoWorld or on Twitter. If you follow me or Keith on Twitter, we have lists of NBA beat writers. That's my number one source of news. I think it's the most direct and some of the best. It could be a little overwhelming on like a 9 or 10 game slate with a lot of them, but I could sort it out with keywords and whatnot. It's funny too about this whole thing with Derrick Rose. Now there's an airport in New York or in New Jersey. It's about, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes north of where the Jets and the Giants play. And it's not Newark Airport, but it's called Teterboro Airport. And a lot of like rich people and, famous people, they fly into there to kind of like, go under the radar. Yeah. So that is, that's a possibility. You could have went out of Teterboro. You'll hear Teterboro in a bunch of like movies and stuff like that. But yeah, that's a real possibility. Now with the Knicks, just based off of actually playing basketball, I mean, I keep saying it. I absolutely hate using Melo, the fact there too is that he's got a shoulder injury and he's talked about this that where he said, there's nothing you can really do about it. It kind of just pops up at random times. Certainly not somebody that I want to pay up for in that situation. This is a great team to target in the Sixers, but I mean, facts remain, they are not, as shitty of a defensive team as they used to be. I mean, typically all last season we saw the Sixers, deep down like 30th, 29th, 28th in their defensive efficiency rating. They're 17th right now, so just below league average. I don't think that we need to necessarily force Knicks into our lineup tonight. But I mean, I could certainly be drawn in other directions. I absolutely hate this team. Like, they're a bunch of divas, and this has nothing to do with me being a Nets fan. It's you never know what you're gonna get with them on a nightly basis. The only guy I like there is Porzingis, and that's about it. And he's got a sore Achilles, so what
Yeah,
the
but
hell am I supposed to do with
he's
that?
still producing.
Oh,
And that's
he's an animal. Don't.
the thing. He's under 8K and he's, besides the last game, which was just a complete and utter total shit show. Well, I guess he's not producing for his salary since he's come back from that. So, yeah, it might
In
just
real
be a
life, he
complete
is.
and total fade. I mean, Melo tweeted out this morning that he swore to the Knicks fan base that he wasn't going to get tossed out of any more games. That's two this year that he's been tossed out of.
You know what they say, promises are meant to be broken.
But I mean, as a tournament play, 6,600. I think Derrick Rose, as of right now, is going to be extremely low owned. I mean, he hasn't broken 30 since he hasn't broken 30 in 2017. But maybe a little bit of motivation to come back and go from there. So what about the Philly side of things? Joel Embiid's supposed to play, obviously. He can crush in his 28-minute limit. Actually, I think it's 30 now because he played 30 against Minnesota. And 29 against Sacramento and Denver. So I think he goes up to 30 minutes. He's only 7,500. His price started to go down a little bit, then it came back up. I don't mind him today. His ownership percentage, I think the Embiid flavor has kind of worn off. So his ownership percentage the last couple times I've rostered him have been, I think, right under or right about 20%. And lower. So I think that he's definitely going to be in play today going up against Joakim Noah. I mean, the dude's just an animal. He's just I don't know how you I don't know how you deny it. He's a damn good
You know
basketball
who
player.
he is? You know who he is? He is Nikola Vucevic.
Ooh, I think Joel Embiid's a little bit better on defense than Vucevic.
I think they both suck, but
I said a little bit better, not good. Not good.
they I mean their minutes aren't really very overwhelming. The production kind of, doesn't wow you on a regular basis, but
Okay,
I would
so.
say Embiid's more consistent than Vucevic, but look, if we're talking about massive upside, it's going to be tough for Embiid to reach it. However, if there were a matchup to do it, I mean, this could certainly be it. You might even see Porzingis on him some in this game just because, he could kind of float around the perimeter as well. So I do like Embiid, I do, but we're on a slate where we got to be mindful because Harden or Westbrook is definitely going in tonight, so you just got to be mindful about what else you use.
Yeah, I mean, he's never played the Knicks, so we've never seen this matchup against Zingas or Noah, so we really don't have any. Not that that should shy you away from it, but it's just another thing to kind of watch out for. So,
Indeed.
I
Now,
if
once.
you really want to know the tournament strategy tonight, based on what I've seen so far. And granted, now mind you, I've been up since 5 a.m., working. So, well, not just working, but I have been up since 5 a.m. It's
We're all very impressed, Keith. Very
you should
impressed.
be because I don't normally get up before 7:30. You don't want to see me awake before 7:30. And then if you do, you better get me some coffee and some freaking food, because otherwise, you want to talk about putting my wife on tilt, my whole family on tilt. Don't get me up before 7:30 and then don't feed me breakfast and coffee.
All right, fair enough. Hey, there's two plays from the Sixers that we kind of, well, I mean, I don't know if we just didn't talk
Oh, we
about them
hadn't
or
got
we're
there yet.
getting there.
Yeah, I was about to get there. I said, you want to know what the ultimate tournament strategy is? tonight for Philadelphia. It's Mr. Sauce, and Rocco. I like me some Rocco tonight.
Rocco could be viable. TJ McConnell still playing the big minutes. Sergio. Sergio just returned last game. Only played 12 minutes, but McConnell.
That's what
balling.
I'm a little worried
He's balling,
about,
my friends.
Is that they're going to put Sergio up to a 20 minute limit, and that's going to take away from McConnell. You take McConnell, who's been playing 35, 36 minutes a game, and then you put him all of a sudden back down to that 28 to 32. You know, that doesn't seem like a huge thing, but usually when TJ McConnell's playing 35 minutes, he's gonna at least get you 25 fantasy points. You know, and those last four games were, not that this is a bad matchup for a point guard, but those last four games were really, really good matchups for point guards. You know, you got Denver, Minnesota, Boston, and Brooklyn. That's why I kind of like, with Sergio back in the mix, I kind of like Sauce a little bit more. And Rocco. Robert Covington has been playing 30 plus minutes a game.
Oh, yeah.
And
11 steals in his last three games.
Yeah, and he is absolutely. He's playing either like he's starting to trust the process, or you see what I did there, or
I did.
That he wants out of Philadelphia. One of the two. Either way, it's great for fantasy. So,
or you know, Brett Brown's starting to trust the Rocco experience or the Rocco process, which I don't think I would ever see in my generation.
And people aren't gonna pay $5,500 for this guy. They're not.
Yeah.
You know, the only person that they're going to pay that much for on the Philadelphia 76ers is Joel Embiid or TJ McConnell TJ McConnell without Sergio Rodriguez in the lineup. They're not going to pay that for anybody else. So on a slate where small forward is not great, you've got LeBron, you've got Melo, and then you've got everybody else. I think that Robert Covington is a fantastic, fantastic option tonight.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're talking about, you know, teams that just suck. Well, look, he can get plenty of steals against the Knicks. You know, they're right around the league average in terms of how many turnovers per game. But, don't worry about it. He'll get a couple steals in this one. A lot of peripherals.
Yeah, there will be some good peripherals from Mr. Rocco tonight.
All right, let's get to our next game here. Washington Wizards at the Boston Celtics. Celtics open up as 5.5-point favorites here at -240 on the money line. We've got a total of 218, which is right up around the highest of the night in this game. Now, Washington Wizards, they've been playing very well as a team, but last night they almost chumped it against the Chicago C team. Wizards are 6-10 against the spread on the road, 8-9 as an underdog, 5-6 as a road dog. Celtics 7-10 against the spread at home, 17-10 as a favorite. That's a big number there, and 7-8 as a home favorite. So, I think all of this is going to come down to just the fact that the Celtics are at home. Like, I really don't like the Wizards on the road. They're not very good there on the road outright, or just in terms of a win-loss. But, you know, they're not great on the back end of a back-to-back either. 1-6 they are this season on back end of back-to-back games. And then the Celtics are 5-3 on the back end of a back-to-back. Let's see. We got a couple injury news here as well. Avery Bradley's questionable. He's missed the last two games with Achilles injury. Tyler Zeller, doubtful. He's missed the last four games with some sort of sinus issue. Stop doing coke, Tyler. And that's what we got there. What are you looking at in this one? Now, and also, keep in mind, too, both teams on the back end of a back-to-back with such a massive total. Wondering how that plays. I typically don't like games like this.
You want to know what's funny? Last time that the Boston Celtics came, were home on the back end of a back-to-back, Isaiah Thomas put up 29 points in the fourth quarter. So
yes,
that would be courtesy. That stat right there is courtesy of the Boston Celtics Radio Network. I do not take credit for their stats, and I actually
just do it.
I love their radio guys. Like, there are some.
I like their TV guys.
Well, their main radio guy goes on to TV every once in a while, and they'll like switch it up, you know, to keep things fresh and stuff like that. But their main radio guy has the balls to tell Mike Tyson to shut up when they were doing. I think they were doing. I forgot what he was saying, but you know, he's like, "You're in my court. Shut up. You're in my ring now. Be quiet. We've got to go to break." If you've got those kind of balls, then I have respect for you. But he's a good guy. He is. I just like the sound of his voice and the way he talks and the way that him and his color analyst, which you don't find a lot on the radio. You don't find a lot of two-man crews for radio for basketball because the game moves so fast, and they work really, really, really well together. If you ever have the chance to listen to them, if you are a Sirius XM subscriber, then please do. Golden State's another good one. Lakers are another good one. And you find out little nuggets because they have to fill time, like especially when and they have to give visuals and stuff. You find out a lot of you hear a lot of really, really good nuggets. I really do like Matt Pinto as well because of the way his enthusiasm is for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I don't mind the Boston Celtics. Avery Bradley has said that he is going to try to play. That was the last thing I heard, and that came from the Celtics beat yesterday afternoon when they announced that he was out. Now, with that said, coming off of an Achilles injury, it's very, very difficult to know exactly what is to be expected. But if he's announced out, then, I mean, just fire up Marcus Smart. I even don't mind, honestly, running an Isaiah Thomas Marcus Smart lineup because Isaiah Thomas had a bad game yesterday, and he still didn't kill you with 37.7 fantasy points. His price is now back down under 9,000. He's going against John Wall defense, which, if I'm not mistaken, there are a couple – bad defenders in the NBA as far as I'm pulling it up here, as far as defensive real plus minus. And at the point guard position, John Wall is, well, just overall, John Wall is behind the likes of guys like Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, just ahead of guys like Alfred Payton, Joffrey Laverne. I mean, the dude is at a legitimate negative 0.40. Now, we say that, okay, and then we can scroll all the way down to the bottom at number 437, which is everybody that qualifies, and we get a minus 4.04. Would you like to know who that might be?
I'm going to guess it's Isaiah Thomas, but I already knew that.
Yes, and it's by a large margin. Like, Brandon Knight is 436 and is at a minus 3.60. So I even don't mind a – I know John Wall, we have the home road splits, and I'm trying to look up
– I got you on that.
You've got his home road splits fantasy average.
I'm gonna get it. Gonna get it.
Because I was doing that and StatMuse is being gay, so it's refreshing. So I even don't mind a little a little ping ponging action between the two. I know Isaiah Thomas is number two in the league, and this is why I say. This is why I kind of love basketball so much is because when you talk about, you know, guys and they're having bad games, all of a sudden they can turn a bad game into a good game very, very quickly. Isaiah Thomas, Russell Westbrook, these are guys that you have to be patient with throughout the first 2.5 to 3 quarters, because these are some of the best scorers in the NBA in the fourth quarter. Kyle Lowry and Isaiah Thomas are number 1 and 2 in the Eastern Conference. And they're right behind Russell Westbrook as far as for the overall NBA lead. It is unbelievable. That's why, I mean, 29 points is a lot to ask for, but that's why, you know, when you're looking at fourth quarter scoring, for him to put up 10 to 12 and a quarter in the fourth quarter it shouldn't be a shocker to you, because he's that good in the fourth quarter. So,
yeah, he's just been absolutely fantastic. The splits that you were looking for here, John Wall this season, 46.5 FanDuel points at home per game, 42.6 on the road. So a 4-point differential there.
And that's not as bad as it used to be. Like we used to be talking about Ben Roethlisberger on the road, Kemba Walker home road split. Like those are the kind of home road splits we used to talk about with John Wall. Now, the one thing I do have a question is, and I should know this because Scott Brooks was my coach for so many years, is these guys played a ton of minutes last night. Like John Wall played 40. Bradley Beal played 37. Martin Gortat, who has an absolute cake-ass matchup, played 42. You know, you've got Otto Porter. He played 34. Markieff Morris played... Well, Markieff sucked. He didn't suck as far as his minutes sucked, but he still played 22 and gave you 29.8. He's the cheapest, and I really, really, really am tempted to go to Markieff tonight. I mean, this has game stack material, in my opinion. It really, really does because of that. But it really scares me as far as the minutes are concerned, because they played so many minutes.
Yeah, that's always gonna scare you. I mean, typically I hate these games where both teams are on the back end of a back-to-back. But I think, you know, we've seen the Celtics do well enough. They'll be at home. I think this is a pretty good spot for them. So
let me ask you a question. What do you feel about absolutely just punting? Where is he? Is he on? Okay, he's a power forward on FanDuel, and he is a power forward slash center eligibility on DraftKings. He's the bare bone blank ass minimum. I really, really kind of like him. He played 23 minutes last night, gave you 17.3. He's been in the rotation with the back end of a back-to-back, knowing they run him at the 5, they run him at the 4, knowing how many minutes Marcin Gortat played last night. What do you think about Jason Smith rolling him out there?
I knew I was going to interrupt, and I said Jason Smith, just because I knew that's who you're talking about. But, yeah, he's been a great contributor to the Wizards while Yamahimi's been out. And, look, I mean, hell, we saw last night, called it last night, Jonas Valanciunas against the Celtics.
We did.
Celtics just suck down low. They're weak, and there's no dog down there. So, yeah, I could certainly get down with that Jason Smith play. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think about, you know, how the Celtics play, do not think of Al Horford as the center and Amir Johnson as the power forward. You have to flip-flop them. Amir Johnson plays the 5, and Al Horford plays the 4 in this lineup.
Much like another team we're going to talk about soon.
Yep.
The Timberwolves.
And, let me ask you a question. Did you keep track of Mr. Kelly Olynyk last night?
I did not.
He had a great first half. 17.8 fantasy points in the first half.
Wow.
Finished with 19.3. Our track record
for the first half and then let the hair down in the second half.
No kidding. Our track record for, like, if we would be millionaires if, like, DFS would just take our first half stats. Because we have great first halves, but then we still, like, our fantasy points per minute in the second half are just absolutely horrible.
Let's see here. I wanted to pull up Gortat. So here's his – I mean, he's still playing solid minutes on the back end of back-to-backs. I mean, he's never – there's – let's see here. Two games with 30 – we'll call it 31, 33 minutes. Those were his lowest. But, I mean, he's played 37, 35, 38, 42, 40 – 43 and 40 in the last two back-to-backs for the Wizards. So I don't know. I do like the Jason Smith play because he does come in right. You know, he comes in that first rotation. So, and you know, typically puts up a lot of points. And again, you know, against the Celtics,
he's made salary. So I mean, there's a lot. I mean, going. And just, that's not a play that you're gonna.
They're weak everywhere.
Yeah,
well, and they're weak everywhere down low.
Here's the issue with this. You would be able. I'm searching it right now. But I believe if I remember, and this is one of the reasons why I like listening to the radio announcers too, because, I don't like listening to a lot of the national broadcasts that they do. Like, you know, every once in a while I will with like the TNT and the ESPN games, but, okay, never mind. I was about to say, if I'm not mistaken, they've got their, it's snowing in Boston, but it's not. It's just supposed to be coming in the next couple day, in the next week or so there. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's 55 and partly cloudy in Boston all day today, so there's no worry about that. So I was about to say, I think they're having a hard travel. I know Boston was because of the fact that, you know, it was snowing up in Toronto.
But, oh, it does that quite often.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
So. The only Celtics game I ever went to, I went into the arena. Everything was cool. I come out. Let me oh, guess. My God.
That was the night that you won your first GPP, right?
Yes, I did. I did.
I feel like we've heard this story before.
No. I was going to say, I went into the arena, and it was, you know, everything was fine, like, weather-wise. And then you come out, and it's just like storm of the century.
News update from the Portland Trailblazers beat writer just now on Twitter. This game is happening, folks.
Oh, boy. I saw something where the Cavs are flying into Seattle and then driving from there.
I would you be surprised if they benched one of the big three? We'll get to it.
Yeah. That is interesting. All right, next game on the docket here. We've got the Memphis Grizzlies at the Oklahoma City Thunder. OKC opened up as 4-point favorites, jumped up a point to 5.5, minus 210 on the money line. And this game actually has the lowest total of the night at 201.5. Keith, let's see here. I had nothing of note. Both teams done pretty well here against the spread. Grizzlies 9-10 on the road against the spread, 13-10 as an underdog, 6-6 as a road dog. Very average across the board. But your boys pretty good against the spread this season. 12-7-1 at home, 16-9-1 as a favorite, and 11-6-1 as a home favorite. All very good numbers. Now, Russell Westbrook, obviously, you know, in our minds all of the time, you know about this rivalry here with the Grizzlies probably as much as anybody. Is it a necessity to pay for him tonight, or could you get away with having no Westbrook?
Here's the deal.
That sounds promising.
Here's the deal. Okay. If you fade Westbrook, you better hope to God that going and getting Harden, because that's the only thing you're doing. You're not fading him to make a balanced lineup. You're just, at least on FanDuel, in my opinion, you're dumb if you do that. Unless you're throwing in like 150, unless you're max entering into the shot, you just shouldn't be doing that. If you're fading Westbrook, you better hope that Harden outscores him, because I think Harden's going to be higher owned. Because he's in a, I think he's going to be higher owned because he's in a higher pace game. He's going up against Minnesota, who let's just put it this way. We were talking about Isaiah Thomas and who was the other guy that I popped off?
John Wall.
No, Brandon Knight. Zach LaVine is fourth from the bottom as far as
Ah.
defensive real plus minus. So, you better hope to God
Well,
that.
Levine is doubtful tonight.
Oh God.
Yes. Hip injury. We'll get there. But go on.
Look, it's Russell Westbrook has had some of his worst games against Memphis,
Yep.
but he's also had some very good ones. He had 25 FanDuel points in Memphis. Now, see, here's. You can fade him, but you're fading him to play Harden. Russell Westbrook is going to be lower owned. He's cheaper. He is what I would feel the, as far as when you're talking about game theory, he's the better tournament play because of that. Now, can Harden outscore him? Yes, absolutely, 100%. Do I feel like Harden is the better play if you're just looking at it as far as, a blank statement? Yes, because he's got a better matchup. He's not that much more expensive. He's only $300. Point guard is not bad, but it's not great. And shooting guard is horrible. So when you're talking about position scarcity, you're going to hear people all day long talk about how Harden is the better play. Yeah, it's Harden over Westbrook. Harden over Westbrook. Harden over Westbrook. Okay. If you're making one lineup, sure, go ahead. Go Harden over Westbrook. But don't be surprised if Westbrook absolutely just. Don't be surprised if he shits the bed because it is Memphis and his tougher games have come against Memphis. And they always play us close when they come into town. But don't be surprised if he outscores Harden too. I don't think we can be
Yeah,
surprised
it's.
with what either one of these players do with either one. I don't think we can be surprised with what either one of these guys do from here on out for the rest of the season. Like it's just we can be amazed, but we can't be shocked because we know that it's possible. We know that they have the possibility to go 40, 15, and 10 or 40, 10, and 15 or whatever it is. In any given matchup. And that's why they're the only players priced over 12K. So I guess that's a
We
roundabout
do ha
way to say that yes, you can fade Har or Westbrook, but you better be fading him for Harden.
we do have a little bit of narrative here for tonight's game because it is the birthday of one Tony Allen. Okay. Yes.
Oh no, go ahead. I was just making sure that you knew that we needed to talk about this because I was letting you kind of slide that on in.
Gotcha, gotcha. So, yeah, with Tony Allen's birthday, now, typically, this season, we kind of have been very disappointed by players on their birthday this season. I don't know whether, if we want to think about this from a psychological aspect, I'm sure these guys are having like huge parties, on the night of their birthday or very close to it. Maybe their head is worried about party planning. I don't know. Maybe it means them getting another year older, so then it just screws with their mind. I don't know what it is, but players on their birthday have not really performed this season. Now, I'm not saying that Tony Allen, we're gonna pick him to perform, here on the offensive end, but maybe obviously he's going to be the one that's defending Russell Westbrook tonight. So will his head be fully in it? Again, this is just DFS conspiracy thinking. I don't think in any way, shape, or form it's a legit theory, but it's just it's something interesting to look at. So think about that, and when you're doing your Westbrook lineups tonight, if you got them. But Tony Allen hasn't been terrible lately. He had the huge game against the Warriors where I believe he had like six steals or something like that. But for a guy that we know in Russell Westbrook that turns the ball over a lot, I mean, look, Tony Allen could get some extra points tonight just by getting his hands on maybe three steals or something along those lines. Could you see that?
Yeah. And I've got a little bit of information to back this up. Not only can you add in the fact that, you know, it is Tony Allen's birthday, this is a big rivalry, but Tony Allen went to Oklahoma State, which is about, I'd say, about 50-minute drive north of Oklahoma City in Stillwater. So it's kind of a quote-unquote homecoming. And we talk about these guys like Blake Griffin, Marcus Smart, Tony Allen, guys coming back to play the Thunder, their quote-unquote hometown team, and I don't mean hometown team by like, you know, where they, but just by where they went to college, and they come out and they shine. Not only that, okay, so we can add that into the narrative, but Tony Allen has played since he's been with the Memphis Grizzlies. He has played two games on his birthday, which are January 11th, okay, in 2013 and 2015. He's averaging 26 and really? A half FanDuel points. He's got a 25.3 on January 11th, 2013. That was versus the San Antonio Spurs. And last year against – or sorry, 2 years ago, against the Phoenix Suns, he put up a 27.2. So yeah, I like me some Tony Allen tonight.
That is interesting. See, that's next level shit right there, folks. Right there. That right, all those stats. Yeah, right there. So did you see the price on Zach Randolph today?
No, sir, because I didn't even look at him.
Well, you should take a look because it's jumped all the way to 6,000.
He was 5,800 2 days ago
on FanDuel. I don't know. It's just something about that next tier. But anyway,
5,900 you're willing to still buy. 6,000, I'm out.
It's just a different look. It's a different look. So, yeah, I mean, look, the price is creeping up on this guy, but
oh, I'm sorry. I mean, he was 5,500 2 days ago.
Yeah, see, I know what I'm talking about here. But that game against the Golden State Warriors, which went into overtime, really, boosted up his game log look of it. So, I mean, look, this is a good matchup for him. We've been able to, roll out the power forwards against OKC this season. But 6,000 seems like a lot, no?
I mean, he played 28 minutes the last game. Against Utah, he played 35 minutes against Golden State. I think that was the game without Jamichael Green, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he's been performing, but the problem is it's Enes Kanter and Domantas Sabonis playing defense tonight. So you're going to want to kind of have some exposure. Zach Randolph is obviously the better player, and he's going to be matched up more probably against Enes Kanter. The Grizzlies would be very, very, very smart to keep Gasol and Zebo on the court at the same time. The reason for that is because they only have one big body that can match up with them, and whichever one Steven Adams goes to, the other one's pretty much going to eat.
Yep.
He scored 32.6 FanDuel points the last game. Now, that was in Memphis, but he did pay off his current value or his current price tag. Mark Gasol did as well, and it had nothing to do with the fact that Steven Adams didn't have a good game, because Steven Adams, for his price, who's now at 6,000 as well, scored 26.8, Steven Adams is one of the better defenders as far as the center position in the league, but he doesn't have any help. So wherever he goes, the ball goes to the other place. And Enes Kanter, Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Grant, whoever, they don't have the size to be able to, like, we were talking about it before. This is one of the reasons why we went out and we got Kendrick Perkins, like 8 years ago, was to be able to bang with these two guys. And we have Steven Adams, but we don't have anybody else. I mean, I think it was so bad. I think that Billy Donovan got so pissed that at one point he put in Nick Collison to guard Z-Bo. He put in Mr. Thunder from Kansas to guard Zach Randolph. And that kind of slowed Zach Randolph down a little bit. But that's when Mark Gasol started going off. And it's just they just don't have an answer for both of them. And it's just that's the biggest mismatch. It is the biggest mismatch that these two guys have. I mean, Mike Conley missed the last game. If I'm not mistaken, he usually kind of tears us a new bungalow. I was going to say bungalow and doesn't even use the KY. But, you know, it's just if you want to watch a very, very good basketball game, this is a game. This is the game to watch because these two teams go at it. Like, there's a lot of history here, and it's usually a pretty even matchup. But Z-Bo, Mark Gasol, hell, I mean, I guess even you could talk about, you know, Jamichael Green, his price has decreased. I probably wouldn't go Enes Kanter because he does better in paced up games and he doesn't have the size to match up with these two guys. Unless Z-Bo gets into foul trouble, he's going to see more Z-Bo than he will Jamichael. But both of those bigs are in play. I mean, Tony Allen, obviously. The question is Victor Oladipo missed this last game? It was the first game of the season that they faced off against each other, so Memphis hasn't seen the Russ Oladipo combo. Mike Conley's not a bad defender, and I think what they do is, like you said, put Tony Allen on Russ and Conley on Depot. That way they're going to have to force Oklahoma City to make them switch in order for them to get a better a plus EV matchup. But, yeah, I mean, if you want your breakdown of the Oklahoma City and Memphis series, then that was it pretty much right there.
Yay! You said, like, well, you know, if you want to watch a good basketball game, if you don't like scoring, then no, that's not going to be a good basketball game for you. But I tell you what, I'd certainly rather watch that than Knicks Sixers. So you got my vote there.
Yeah, anyway, I'm good. I would much rather watch. I'd much rather watch the Lakers and the Nets than the Knicks Sixers right now.
Now you're just getting ridiculous.
No, because nobody wants to watch the Lakers. That's not even new. At least there's young, exciting players in there.
That's a good point. Every time I think Lakers Nets, I think back to the 2002 finals, and it breaks my heart. Okay, that's enough. All right. Any final thoughts from Memphis, Oklahoma?
No, we've spent a lot of time on just two games this slate so far.
Three games.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Houston Rockets at the Minnesota Timberwolves. This one is going to be a doozer. You got the Rockets opening up as 3.5 point favorites here. Money line minus 160 for them. Over under listed at 219 for this one as well. Rockets 9-0 on the back end of back to backs this season. But in terms of the spread, let's take a look at both teams. Rockets are 16-5 against the spread on the road. That is amazing. 19-12 as a favorite and 9-4 as a road favorite. Timberwolves not as good. 10-10 against the spread at home, 9-13 as an underdog, 4-6 as a home dog. Now, couple injury notes here for both sides. Eric Gordon's out. He didn't even make the trip to Minnesota for this one. He missed last night's game with a toe injury. Of course, Clint Capella's out. He's missed multiple games for the Rockets. And now Zach LaVine was listed as questionable going into the day. He is most likely not going to play. So prepare for life without him. He got injured during that last game on Monday with a hip contusion. So what we have here is a pretty good basketball game. I'm a little worried for the Rockets in the fact that, you know, they're only 3.5-point favorites here in this one. To me, that line looks risky, but, you know, again, it looked risky the last time they were on a back end of a back-to-back against Orlando, and I said, oh, this is going to be the night where it, you know, this is going to be the night where the back-to-back streak ends for the Rockets. Instead, it ended up being the night that I said, I will never doubt this team on a back-to-back ever again. They are just come to play every single time.
Whoa. I'm going to stop you.
They don't play good teams on the back end of a back-to-back.
No. That's not what I was going to say. In my fairness, that's not what I was going to say. Don't say they come and play the whole game, because they don't. Because they were getting dominated for the first two and a half quarters. They were getting dominated for the first 2.5 quarters in that Orlando game. They were down by 20.
Won.
Now I will say this. To me, it seems like Houston is kind of playing with, I don't want to say fire, but they're playing like they have a light switch. Have you noticed that? Like, they'll come out and they either are – they're just absolutely completely shit in the first, like, half. And then they turn it on. Boom. And they come back and they win by, like, 7. Or they come out and they go absolutely completely bonkers like they did last night. And then all of a sudden now you're looking with 3 or 4 minutes left to go in the game. And where they were up by 25, now they're down by 3.
Yes.
And then they turn it on
again. I will
give
you that. But that is more
– what the hell?
That is more – of a lately thing with the Rockets, though, because I mean, as I put those numbers up there against the spread, I mean, those are fantastic numbers. But you're right, there's been times in the last week or two where, you know, they kind of just toyed around with the other team or whatever the case is. But again, we know that the Rockets score a lot of points. We know that the Minnesota Timberwolves give up a lot of points. This just seems to be a perfect recipe for a Houston victory here tonight. So there's an interesting thing floating around out there, and I saw this on the player bubble for Zach LaVine. So Zach LaVine, the last time he missed a game, the good folks over there at my former employer, RotoWire, said the last time that Zach LaVine missed a game, they added the nugget in that Belika, that he played 41 minutes in that last game that LaVine missed. Well, I had to go take a look at being the nosy person that I am. There was no Shabazz Muhammad in that game. So he's going to get a ton of minutes. But, yeah, Belika will get some. But if you're looking for 41 minutes out of Belika in a night, then chill. Chill, bro. They also played the Lakers that game, and the dude went absolutely bananas. So that had a lot to do with it. But, I mean, look, I'm probably not going to roll with Belika, and I know he's probably going to be a popular play just because of that snippet there. So, you know, let's temper our expectations here.
We talk about it a lot, and we talk about it all the time. We like sneakier value plays better, because it seems like when the quote unquote public is on these guys, they shit the bed more times than not. Bulls value last night.
And you know what happens too? Most of these sneaky value plays, they're, I don't want to say all the time, maybe plays. Like 75% of the times, these are guys coming from the bench going to the starting lineup, and it's just a different animal.
Yeah. And, you know, I would rather play these guys playing half amount of minutes at half the ownership, and they're going to, you know, see the second team. With that said, is he in play tonight? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Is he a good play tonight. He's Min Price. I mean, the dude played 29 minutes last night and only scored you 14 fantasy points. These are his last games over 20 minutes. Okay, 29, 14 fantasy points against Dallas, against Philly, 23 and 10.6, against Atlanta, 25, 19.5.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt for the 19 and the 18, because that's basically 20.
No,
That's
19 and 14. The first one was 14, which was last night. Then it was
Oh no, I'm t
Philly.
no no no, I'm talking about the minute. So the Milwaukee and the Denver game, he played 19 and 18 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to go to the Denver game, 18 minutes, 9 fantasy points.
Yes, I just wanted to put more dirt on his name. That's why.
So yeah, he's I let me put it this way. I would much rather you play Jason Smith than Nemanja Bjelica or Bjelica or
Malika.
Rohit Bjelica, or
I don't even
Jalika.
know if that's right. I
Yeah,
don't even know if that's
we'll
right.
have to get
Who
Siri on this.
cares?
But here's the thing, and here's the funny thing about it. With Levine out, I'm going straight to Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns and
Boom.
possibly Ricky Rubio. Forget messing with this stupid so-so value. I have value that I can get in Jason Smith, who's going to be in the rotation anyways, and he's got a great matchup, probably a better it's debatable on who's got the better matchup. But at least with Jason Smith, he's going to be around the bucket enough to be able to get rebounds and putbacks and stuff like that.
Sure.
With BJ, I have to freaking worry about Wiggins, Rubio, Towns. So you're talking about Gorgui Dieng. So you're talking about a guy that's probably fifth on the pecking order. And then coming off the bench, you're looking at Shabazz Muhammad. You're looking at, I mean, no. Absolutely not. I've just talked myself completely off of it. I don't care what the rest of the industry says. If it bites us in the ass, then it bites us in the ass. Go pay for Tony Allen. Go play Bradley Beal. Go play Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns. Collect your money at the end of the night. Pass go, and don't go bankrupt.
Now, I mean, look, we can already see the difference that it made to his minutes there, with Levine being out of the lineup. But again, this is a total ownership play, and
Not only that, but it's a
so be it.
usage play. You
Yeah,
take
absolutely.
Zach LaVine and Nikola Pekovic, who should always be out, off of the court, okay, on Roto-Grinders Court IQ, which they've become the better default on-off tool rather than NBA WoW, because NBA WoW, they didn't update their stuff, and this is a lot easier to read. And you know me, I like simplicity. Andrew Wiggins gets a 7.2 differential usage bump than with those guys on the court. He's averaging almost 20 or almost 0.24 fantasy points more with them off the court. And we all know Andrew Wiggins is not somebody I want to even come close to in my cash games. But at 6,300, getting that big of a usage bump. Yeah, I know he sucked the last two games. Okay? But you have to look at him. You have to. Is he going to get a little bit of Trevor Ariza defense? Probably a little bit, but it's not like Trevor Ariza is as good of a defender,
Oh
as he
no, I was going
used
to
to
say
be.
that's a good thing. That is a
But
good thing.
if he can jack up, because, okay, let's see. How many shots does Zach LaVine take per game? We're talking on, if we take out his last game, he jacked up 21 against Utah, 14, 20, 12, 17, 17, 16, 11, 21. Those shots have to go somewhere. So if you just kind of split them up evenly, you give like four to Karl-Anthony Towns, you give four to Andrew Wiggins, you give maybe three to Ricky Rubio, and give the rest to like Shabazz Muhammad and a couple Gorgui Dieng and stuff like that. We're talking now, instead of Andrew Wiggins taking 11 and 14 shots. We're talking about taking the 19, the 18, the 20s, and those are when he has his better games. And if he can shoot anywhere close to 45% from the field tonight and get to the foul line, we're talking about 40-point upside very, very, very easily for 6,300. If he can get close to his ceiling, he's probably the best dollar per point play at the position.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a ton of great plays here. Obviously, that's where you want to go. I know you mentioned Rubio. You'd probably get the Beverly treatment tonight, right?
If Beverly plays.
Okay.
I think he's going to, but there's still word out that his wrist hurts during practice and stuff like this and all this other stuff. And look, I think that if Beverly would have, Beverly's not one of those guys that, like, he's a gamer. He's gonna do everything he can to play. He's not just gonna sit, you know. He comes from Arkansas where they played, 60 minutes of hell, or 30 minutes 40. Of hell, 40 minutes of hell.
40.
I forgot how many minutes were in a college game. I haven't watched a lot of college this year. They played 40 minutes of hell. And what I mean by that is they played full court press in your face, man-to-man defense for 40 minutes. That's what he comes from. So for him to quote-unquote rest or play or not play because his wrist hurts, he's not that type of guy. I think that Beverly plays tonight. And if Beverly plays, sure. I have a lot more interest in Beverly than I do with Ricky Rubio. So
yeah, but I heard this I saw this ridiculous tweet the other day where I guess the last four practices or something along those lines, Beverly hasn't shot a ball at the practice because like his wrist hurts so much. So just be aware of that for the offensive end. There are other players here on the Rocket. Ariza is a guy that we can go to. Ryan Anderson, certainly we mentioned James Harden. But again, we saw it with Eric Gordon out of the lineup last night. Ariza had to take a lot more shots, so he's certainly interesting at that small forward position. And with
Ariza or Beverly's wrist hurting, quote unquote, he's put up 23, 19, 35, and 28 fantasy points. Yes, he's 6,000, but he's a great tournament play tonight because he's going to be low.
I think the last two games though when he kind of reaggravated it. But yeah, I mean when he came back, I think he was good enough to go. But I think we're starting to see the effects of it these last two games.
Yep, absolutely. So.
All right, let's see. We've got the will it or won't it happen game of the night. The Cleveland Cavaliers opened up as 4-point favorites at the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. Minus 230 on the money line are the Cavaliers. 220.5 is tonight's gives us tonight's highest total of the evening. And let's take a look at how these guys do against the spread. Actually, both teams are on a back end of a back-to-back in this one. Cleveland is 3-4 on the back end of a back-to-back. Portland 2-6 on the back end of a back-to-back this season. Not very good. But let's take a look at the spread notes. Cavs 6-10 against the spread on the road this season. 14-16-2 is a favorite. 5-7 as a road favorite. Blazers 8-10 against the spread at home this season. 6-12 as an underdog and 1-4 as a home dog. Disgusting. Yeah, I guess. Look, we already talked about the circumstances involved with this game. I think both teams are like flying into a different city and then bussing it into Portland. I don't think either team really has an advantage of that, from that situation. So it should just be an interesting game. I like the Cavaliers in this one, not necessarily based on anything that that popped up in the spread notes, but.
Just because they're a better basketball team.
Yeah, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Trailblazers' defense is absolutely piss poor. And, the Cavs are coming off a loss last night while the Blazers are coming off a win. So I expect Cleveland to, have a little more oomph in this one.
Yeah, that was a you were right on it with that Utah. Utah at home, man, They're going to make some noise in the playoffs. If they can work their way up to that five seed, I forgot where they are currently. Let me look here. But they're tough at home. Like, they are the, well, one, two, three, four, five. They're currently the sixth seed, but they're tied with Memphis for the five seed. If they can work their way up, they're only two games out behind the Clippers. As far as the four seeder is concerned,
And they've dealt with a
beware.
ton of injuries this year.
No kidding. Like George Hill, I don't even think George Hill's played 10 games with the team. But beware to anybody going into that atmosphere. Quinn Snyder has that team playing lockdown D, and it is not even close.
And by the way, Vegas, you could disguise your upsets a little more. That one was a gimme. That was a layup.
Evidently not, because he's played 16 games with the team. Last night was 16.
I'm
So
still not impressed.
with George Hill,
Yeah.
I
No,
mean,
just how many games he's played.
oh yeah. But anyways, yeah. So they're coming off. We know the travel. I'm gonna do a little bit of searching to find out exactly, how bad it was on both sides, what had to go through, what exactly had to happen. What did you say the line was?
Opened up at four, it's at five now. And
Okay, yeah, I have it at
here's another
five.
thing too, the money line for the Cavs at -230. Not exactly that high. I mean, I think it even opened up the money line because it opened up at 170. So that's kind of telling most of the time, but I gotta go with my gut here and just, Cavs are, with them pissed off and just having to deal with all this shit. I think they're gonna put it on Portland tonight.
Okay, so I have a question. I want you to tell me who you have interest in on the Cavs before I tell you either you are on the right track or you are completely off your rocker.
I think it has to be Kyrie and LeBron. We talked at great length yesterday about how well Aminu's been doing on the defensive end. Saw it last night. He kind of held Julius Randle in check.
Kinda.
I know. I knew as soon as I said kinda you were gonna say
He
something, but
shut that boy down.
gotta go with the flow. Gotta go with the flow. But yeah, I think Kyrie, LeBron, and I'm gonna smack myself for saying I'll just do it now. Tristan Thompson, maybe. Maybe.
Want to see here, because I might have a sneaky play. 17 minutes. There was a report last night that came out that I guess Kyle Korver and LeBron James were sitting there talking, and I guess Korver said, I haven't had to deal with this in a while. I fit in really great with my boys in Atlanta. I love the city and everything. And LeBron basically goes, "You want to know what you need to do to fit in here?" He's like, "Shoot the damn ball every time it touches your hands." And I'm sitting there going, okay, I can take that, but I mean, he played 18 minutes, only shot the ball five times. But
Tough, tough matchup.
if the leader of your team, yes, very tough matchup in Utah. If the leader of your team basically says that, and then you're going up against a guy or a team that can't guard the 3-point line. Somebody asked me last night if Kyle Korver was in play yesterday. My answer was no. Tonight, yes, absolutely. Lock and load. Tournaments
Yeah,
only.
and
But if he
you
played 18 minutes last night, you could see an increase in that tonight in what could be a very, very high scoring game. And if I'm not mistaken, Portland's dead last against Garden against the threes. I'm looking
I
here.
believe Brooklyn's the worst, but Portland's got to be right up there. I've talked about this at great length too before, but on the back end of a back-to-back, I like the jump shooters more just because it's an easier play for the player. On a back end of a back-to-back, you're not going to want to bang up as much. You're probably going to defer more to the jump shot. So, yeah, I could certainly get down with Korver in this scenario.
Okay, NBA, you suck because I can't I want to see defensive statistics, and you're just giving me offensive statistics.
I could do points here. Let's see. So Portland, they're not giving up many. They're about league average in terms of how many points they give up from behind the 3-point line. They give up just
I
under
want to know the
30 per game.
percentage. I want to know field goal percentage, 3-point percentage given up.
That I don't have.
Let's see here. Percentage of 3-pointers allowed. I mean, I'll find it and I'll post it. It's not that big of a deal right now, but I want to say they're bad because every time I look up, somebody's, absolutely torching them from the three, which you would think that
There
would
we
be a good
go.
matchup from for Kevin Love. And guys, I'm telling you, I'm not taking if it, I mean, do we project Aminu to be on LeBron or on Kevin Love? Because I kind of think it's going to be on Kevin Love, and they're going to let Mo Harkless and it's going to
Yeah.
be and Evan Turner kind of, match up against them. Guys, I'm not afraid of either one of Mo Harkless or Evan Turner. I mean, do you let somebody that actually can shoot the three beat you? Or do you let somebody that's kind of iffy from beyond the arc beat you? For me, it's kind of a no-brainer with the way that Portland plays. I want LeBron, this sounds bad. I would rather LeBron beat me tonight, having to drive and deal with, not that he's great, but Mason Plumlee and, stuff like that. I want
Right.
or force LeBron into jumpers than I do of Kevin Love, who is very good at shooting threes behind the beyond the arc. So if I'm Terry Stotts, I stick Aminu on Kevin Love and make LeBron beat me tonight.
I got your opponent 3-point percentage. Portland fifth worst in the NBA,
There you go.
allowing 37.6% from behind the arc.
Send me that link if you could, please.
Yes, we'll do. I could see Portland doing a couple different things. Maybe throwing Evan Turner out there a little more to deal with LeBron. I think certainly Mo Harkless is going to be out there. The last time these two teams played, Damian Lillard went BANANAS against the Cavs. So,
That was in
you know,
Cleveland
he
too, wasn't it?
that was in Cleveland.
Oh, I remember that game because we were like, no, we don't play Damian Lillard on the road, because he's
I believe that was a back end of a back to back for them. That was actually their last game of that brutal East Coast road trip that they were on, or as many people were calling it, the Damian Lillard rap album promo tour.
dropping
But
dimes, dropping dimes.
have Dan. So yeah, I mean, I think a couple of these guys are in play. I think it makes for such an interesting dynamic tonight where you're either gonna have really shitty offense or really shitty defense, and Vegas is telling us we're going to see the latter of that. So this could be a phenomenal game stack here.
Oh, I 100% agree. It's a phenomenal game stack tonight. I will have it's yeah.
Right, fair
It's made me
enough.
speechless, my friend. It's made me speechless.
All right, we've got one more game on the board here tonight to get to. I was clicking on too many things, so I lost my betting line thing. Damn it. All right, last game of the night here. We've got the, once I find it, the Orlando Magic at the LA Clippers. Clippers open up as 9.5 point favorites, -500 on the money line. Total of 209 tonight in this one. Magic or 10-9 against the spread on the road, 12-15 as the underdog, 9-7 as a road dog. Clippers 12-8 against the spread at home, 15-7 as a, I'm sorry, 15-17 as a favorite, 9-7 as a home favorite. A couple injury news notes here. Serge Ibaka and Elfrid Payton are both questionable. Ibaka missed his last practice with a shoulder injury that he hurt on Sunday night against the Lakers. And then Elfrid Payton also got hurt during that last game with with a quad injury, so both questionable. And then obviously Blake Griffin's still out for the Clippers, but, you know, progressing somewhat towards a return. Given all the information here, who are you liking?
DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul. I mean, it's your regular guys for the Clippers. It's Jordan, Paul, Redick, and that's pretty much about it. Maurice Spates is too expensive now to keep kind of getting the value that we need out of him. He's kind of got up there in price. He was on the border there at 43. Now he's just a little too expensive for my blood without, you know, getting the start and getting a lot of minutes. He's still right there at 43. But, you know, the last couple games, 14. And what's crazy is 14 minutes against Miami, 23.9. 11 against Sacramento, 21.7. 20 against Houston, 26.4. So, I mean, he can produce, but he's right there at 4,300. And I think on the express slate or the after-hour slate, he's in play. But on the main slate, nah, I just – 20s ain't going to do it for you tonight, brother.
Sheesh. Yeah, not a whole lot to like from this game here, so, you know, we can kind of breeze through it. But I'm just trying to think without – let's see here. Can you pull up without Ibaka and Payton?
I sure can.
Because I think that could be interesting. I mean, typically you don't want to pick on the Clippers with Chris Paul. I mean, you can already see, like, without Chris Paul, the Clippers were starting to fall into maybe like 11th to 13th in terms of defensive efficiency. With him back already, they're already back at 6th. So, you know, they're just a much different team defensively with him.
DJ Augustine gets the biggest bump, but it doesn't necessarily produce fantasy points. The biggest bump that gets not only in the usage, but also the fantasy point production, which when you come from a little bit to more than a little bit, there's going to be a big bump, is Jeff Green. His fantasy points per minute go up 0.20 more with those two out of the lineup. But it's obvious. It's your guys. It's Augustine, Green, Gordon, Vucevic, and Fournier. They all see over a 4% usage bump with those two out of the lineup. You know, Vucevic is a 29.6, Fournier is a 29.4. I think they're a great combo pairing together. DJ Augustine's a 28.3. Aaron Gordon's a 26.9. The interesting one here is Mario Hezonja. He is min freaking price on both sites. He didn't play. He hasn't played a lot, but this is somebody that we played last year at times, and we've seen if he were to somehow get the start. Unfortunately, it's been Jody Meeks that has been getting the minutes, but I'm not playing Jody Meeks. But if we could somehow get some confirmation that Hezonja is going to be getting a significant amount of minutes, then I wouldn't mind that play. I'm not going to hold my breath on it, but I would. He's definitely somebody that we've got to, you know, do some digging on. So,
yeah, one guy I don't mind, JJ Redick's a guy. You know, I like him, and you know, I know this might sound weird for other people, but I like him in there with Chris Paul, because I feel like, you know, Redick's not a guy that can necessarily create his own shot. So that's why you saw him struggle a lot, you know, without Paul in the lineup. But, you know, when Reddick's at his best, when he's able to move around all those screens like a psychopath and, you know, just run all over the court, pop the open three. So, yeah, that certainly works a lot better when Chris Paul's in the lineup. I mean, we've seen his last four games, he's crushing value. Last game against the Heat, you know, 35.4. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, this is a situation where the Clippers are going to be favored by a lot. Vegas likes them to win this game pretty comfortably. So, you know, typically – when Reddick is in there and Blake Griffin is not, that's a spot that I've gone to a lot and been pretty successful. So, yeah, I haven't played Reddick too much lately. And then obviously that last game I missed him, you know, since it was on a Sunday, right? Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, I just pulled it up, and this kind of is going to back up exactly what you said, because people would think it's the other way around, you know,
right.
Because you see J.J. Redick's usage go up, but just because his usage goes up doesn't mean his production goes up. J.J. Redick with Chris Paul in the lineup is averaging 15 or 16 fantasy points. Now, this season it's a little a little bit more skewed. But the last three seasons, it's right around 16.3 fantasy points. With him out of the lineup, it's right around 13.5. So it's not huge, but it when you're talking about, you know, over a three-year sample size, that is a pretty significant, you know, and you're talking about more minutes per game. I mean, it's a pretty significant jump. So,
well, yeah, and not only that, especially, you know, Blake Griffin being out of the lineup is the big factor in that. You know, when Griffin's in, yeah, Redick's not going to see as much usage, but when it's, you know, when the big three turns into Paul, Jordan, and Redick, then yeah, that's where Redick sees his biggest boost.
Yep.
So, all right. Anything left?
There was something else I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it was. So no.
Okay, must have been extremely important.
It actually was, but you know, you get talking, yeah, and get going, and oh, I do remember. Oklahoma in the Midwest is supposed to get some weather this week. How bad it is, I don't know. I'll let everybody know. But there is a possibility that power could be cut off to us. I mean, they're making it sound like it's the second coming of, you know, the apocalypse.
Or that movie with Jodie Foster.
Yeah, that too, which they always do in Oklahoma. I mean, it's just kind of how they deal with weather here, and it's kind of annoying. But anyways, so be on the lookout. If I don't have internet – it's obviously going to be impossible.
The string and can method?
No, I was talking about cheat sheets and stuff.
Ah.
It's going to be impossible for me to, you know, do those type of things, because I can't do everything from my phone. But, so if I don't have internet, then, you know, we need to stand by. But I'll let everybody know and keep everybody posted. I will be fine. Don't worry about me. It's just the ability to fully do work is what I'm concerned about. So as long as I have internet and power, I don't care how bad it gets. You guys are going to get you guys are going to get your info. But as soon as I lose internet and power, then that's when my focus is going to shift. So.
All right, fair enough. Well, definitely be safe out there. And again,
oh, it's 70 degrees here right now, by the way.
Fair enough. Yeah, if you're not a member of the DFS Army, make sure you go to dfsarmy.com. Use that promo code podcast. Going to get you basically a $16 per month membership for everything that we offer. A major steal. So definitely do that. And we will be back tomorrow. Another 6-game slate. So. It'll be a good one. We'll see you later. Peace.
Yes, sir.